Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God for you. We thank thee kingdom builders and kingdom dollars, for allowing us to come once more again on the internet to share with you what God has given us. And we are pleased again that God has allowed myself and Prophet Matthew Barnes to be on the air again. And we just praise God for my brother. He's working and going through a wonderful transition of life right now. And we just are just glad that he is with us. And we just praise God for you being with us on today. We also thank our covering, which is the Living Way Christian Center here in the city of Gary with Apostle Leonard Emmons for allowing us even again the use of the ministry on tonight, as well as supporting us and pushing us to do those things that God intends for us to do. And we're going to go ahead and let the man of God greet you, and then we're going to talk about the things that to kind of get started of what we did last week. We're going to share with you a prayer that we can get started on a wonderful basis. Did they tell you what's been going on with us? Because we had, since the last time we talked to you, we've had some powerful things happen in our lives. So we're going to let the man of God greet you on that night. And God bless you for being with us.
Hello. This is Prophet Matthew Barnes. We thank you for tuning in to the Warfare Hour. Thank you for tuning in. We ask that you get your Bibles, get your pens and papers. We ask that you would let your heart get ready to receive the Word of God. We ask that you would allow your minds to be prepared, draw your mind in from wherever it is. We just want to talk tonight about some things. Holy Spirit is urgent. And, of course, on last week, we talked about Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, and the attitudes that we should have that makes us and helps us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. That way we won't be ashamed and we'll draw men unto Christ. And so tonight is no different from any other night. We will talk about some things in warfare, and we'll talk about some other things that the Holy Spirit placed upon us. We just say, open thine eyes, that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law that we didn't know. Lord, give us ears to hear and allow our spirits to be able to make our hearts flesh to receive your word. Lord, you said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart.
Yeah.
And so tonight we do not want to harden our heart. The scripture says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. So the Lord is asking us to seek him tonight with all our heart. He has a future for us. He wants us to plan. He plans to give us hope and a future. He told us to know what he has for us. He talked about us praying to him, and I'm seeking him with our whole hearts tonight. So tonight we might talk a little bit about our word. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The words that are spoken and coming out of our mouths, out of our spirits, that will glorify God, the decrees of God, the word of God, the commandments that are laid up in our hearts. So there's some things that we're going to talk about tonight that will be very interesting, things that we need to look at, we need to live by. I always pray that, Lord, help us to apply this word to our hearts and to demonstrate. And so tonight, again, we're looking for application and demonstration and manifestation of the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's a true rendition or a true application of how we've been attempting to share with you as we do go forth. One thing that we've found out is that as each day goes on, we find ourselves in different predicaments, and how we apply the word of God to those predicaments that we come in contact with really sets the pace for our testimony. Prophet and I were discussing some things that's happening in everyday life, and we were talking about how does it really affect our testimony when we respond a certain way. And we had to kick it around a little bit just to put things in the proper perspective. And one of the things that we came up with is that you don't have to have a title. You don't have to have nothing but the desire to be in the kingdom. You're giving your heart, giving yourself over to the man known as Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Call him as your personal Savior. And then you're putting yourself in a position to try and live a life that's pleased. So here's what happens. The enemy comes forth, and he puts himself in a position to trip you up. And so as he begins to trip you up, you find yourself going back to the future. And what I mean by back to the future, you go back to where you were. Some of us haven't overcome all of those things of the world. And so what happens is we put ourselves in a position, because we haven't overcome the things of the world, we give in. We might cuss, or we might fuss, or we might get angry and show an emotion or put ourselves in a situation where somebody else sees us and say, see, I knew that you wasn't all of that. Never mind that you're human. But see, God said something, and the man of God spoke of it on last week. We want to be human when it comes to that. We don't want to be God. We want to be human. I'm only human. God knows my heart. But he's given us a way out of any and every situation. And really what we need to do is to find solutions and antidotes to tap into those escape routes or those ways out. I was reading some information from Joyce Myers, and she was talking about the power of the word, meaning that the words that we use every day has much, much power. And if you're in the fivefold ministry, particularly, you're an apostle, you're a prophet, you're a teacher, you're an evangelist, you're a pastor, you have one of the ministry gifts that's listed in the scriptures, laying on of hands, diversity of tongues, you know, administration, and you working every day. Every time you open your mouth, what you need to understand, men and women of God, this real talk here. When you open your mouth,
you have power. So what you say, guess what? It has to manifest. Even if you say it in anger, it's going to manifest. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to repent. Then you have to go and ask God for his wrath to be kindled. But in the meantime, you're not so much wreaking a curse upon a person, but it's the scriptures say, as a man thinketh, so is he. So as you put yourself in a position of thinking a bad deed, you might end up saying something. And if you say it, it's got to manifest. So if bad things start happening to folks, it just might be because we didn't bridle our tongue. You have to understand that God is not going to continue to tell us that we're anointed. He said it all throughout the scripture in his word, how anointed we were, and that how anointed we can be. Calling on the name of Jesus, touching and agreeing, all the keys to the kingdom, fasting, praying in tongues, guarding our portals. Everything that we do, putting on the entire armor of God, the whole armor of God, taking communion. Every time we put ourselves in a position of using a weapon of warfare on a continuous basis, our words draw more and more strength. Instead of having a 22 Derringer, if you are praying daily in the morning, at noon, and at midnight, and all through the day, and letting God lead your life, guess what? You don't have a Derringer. You got a bazooka. You got a nuclear bomb for your words. So you may not see it that way, and then you're wondering, even the things that we watch, you know, we as the kingdom of God need to really monitor what we allow to get in our eye gates, in our ear gates, what gets in our minds and becomes a picture. Because way on down the line, as the day goes on, we see that picture. And if that picture is not a good picture, and we haven't been prayed up, we just might be susceptible to influences that will cause us to be harmed, not only to ourselves, but to others. And again, we're going to kind of key in today a little bit on the power of the word, the power of the tongue. We are going to talk about a few other things, but the power of the tongue is going to really drive us. And I told you we had some wonderful things to share with you on this past Friday. We had the men's encounter here at the Living Way Christian Center here in the City of Glory. And OMG, like they say on Facebook and on the Internet, OMG! It was awesome, 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 awesome. We're going to be having another one next month, April the 20th. On Friday, April the 20th, you'll be getting more information on that. But you do not want to miss the next men's encounter. We learned some stuff about ourselves. We learned some stuff about one another. We bonded one with another. We fellowshiped. And we were in fellowship from 9:30 on Friday evening until 6:30 a.m. on Saturday morning. And we saw a wonderful movie. The name of the movie is Courageous. If you haven't seen that and you are male or female, but particularly if you're a man and you ever seen Courageous, you need to be setting your dial and your telephones and your alarm clock for April the 20th, Friday, April the 20th, to come in and share with us as we talk about what God has intended for us to do. We thank you for being with us on today, all that are listening. We're going to switch gears right here. I'm going to turn it back over to the man of God, Prophet Matthew.
Amen. I am about to switch gears. I am about to switch gears. We're talking about the word. I started off in the book of Psalms, Psalms 1. And I'm not going to read the whole Psalm, but it is very important in this manner. And the scripture reads, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. This is one of the ways that your mouth will be filled with the word of God, with your spirit being filled with the word of God, with the wisdom of God." We're talking about our mouths. And we all know, at times we begin to cool off. See, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us." And the thing that continues to stick out to me is the seeking. As somebody hot on somebody's trail, somebody's running after, chasing, pursuing in hot pursuit. In hot pursuit. And so it is a constant, ongoing thing. It deals with endurance. But the scripture says, blessed is the man or woman, man, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And when we look at the counsel of the ungodly, we look at those that are not saved, those that have worldly wisdom, and the words that they would speak, the words that they would use, the jargon, the slang, the catchy sayings that are not coming from light but darkness. There is dark counsel as well as light counsel. And so when you begin to look at counsel, and we're talking about words, we are dealing with the words that you're hearing, the words that are being used, and the words that you are allowing into your ear gates. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. And it said hearing by the word of God. So there are things that we are hearing that are not the word of God, that we have faith for, but it all came by way of words. This is how important the earth realm is. When you look at the book of Genesis, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We go back to God forming everything by way of words, not being hasty, but out of his speech, out of his essence, out of his spirit. God is not a man that he should lie. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. He is a spirit. And so when we look at God, God spoke out of his spirit. We are spirit with a body, not a body with a spirit. You're a spirit with a body. When you read in your Bible, it talks about God foreknew us, predestined us. He is the Father of spirits. And so when we begin to look at us being here in the flesh, it's just like the astronauts, them leaving the Earth's atmosphere and entering into another atmosphere. They have to have on the astronaut suits. And so no different from us coming from God, being birthed in the womb, going through the matrix, being formed by way of seed and egg in the 9 to the 12 months that we are carried inside the womb, and then the preparing of a body. And so because of this atmosphere, this earth, when you begin to look at how things are set up for you not to float around, you have a body. That's why gravity is so. And so your body allows you to walk and not float. But you are spirit with the body. And so therefore, just the example, just to let us know, for whatever atmosphere or realm that we are in, we need to be appropriated with the right suit. And so we are spirit with the body. And we come from the Father of spirits. And so when we look at the Word of God, pertaining to life, pertaining to the words that he spoke over us, the words against us from the ungodly counsel that we shouldn't walk in. The scripture also tells us evil communication corrupts good manners. And so when we look at our manners going another way, we have to look at the crowd that we're around or that we continue to gravitate toward, whether it be by way of radio,
that's right.
Cousins, nieces, nephews, uncles, television, radio, music, even the comedians. It's a setup. And so evil communication corrupts good manners. And yet we're looking for a laugh. We're looking to be entertained. We are looking to hear the words that would allow us to be light, to be easy, or to take it easy. The scripture says, blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, when we talk about the law of the Lord, the law is a consistent of commandments, decrees, declarations that are words. And David said, I will hide in my heart that I might not sin against him. So when we look at what we call blessed these days, Lord help us, God forgive us, we begin to look at stuff.
Yeah.
We begin to look at things. We begin to be conformed to the world. And he said, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the only way that you can renew your mind is by the word of God. He that have an ear to hear, let him hear.
All right.
Hear what? The word of God, life and death, is in the power of the tongue. And so those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And so when we look at the word of God, when we look at the men and the women of God and the word that is coming forth, we look at the life coming out, and then the life that we don't speak after we sit in church for maybe 2 hours. I tell you how we are. Lukewarm church? Are we a cold church? Or are we a hot church? Based on the word of God, based on the greater works. Greater works shall we do. But look at our word life, look at our prayer life. And then when we pray, what are we praying? What do we pray? Or are we even praying at all? Because when I look at prayer, the abundance of words that we would speak from the limited vocabulary that we have, or not so much even the praying with the words, praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit. The Bible says when you pray in the spirit that you build up your most holy faith. Let's remember what this is. Building up our most holy faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we do want to pray in the Holy Spirit because it builds up our most holy faith. We look at John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God and with God. And there was nothing that was made without him. The Word. Jesus, the Word made flesh and walked among us, dwelt among us, a living Word. He came that we might have life. He came that we might have a living Word. And that living Word became a living way. It became a living way. That's why he's the way, the truth, and the life. But it started with the Word. So if we can get the Word, we can get in the way. And when we get in the way, we can get the life. And have it more abundantly. So when we begin to talk about the Word of God, we have to look at ourselves because we know when we're getting cold. We know when we're getting warm. We know when things are starting to change around us. Body of Christ, we've been in this thing too long for us to not know, for our discernment to be so low. And so what the Lord gave me was about the baptism of fire, because we need the Word. But the baptism of fire. Because the only way we don't have a fresh prayer life or fresh word life or even just really wanting to be around the saints and the anointing is that we have cooled off. It was always said that birds of a feather flock together.
All right.
But he also said, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. No man can serve two masters, for he either will love one and hate the other. Choose ye this day who you will serve. So when we begin to look at why we're not blessed in such a way, pertaining to Psalms 1, we look at us walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Now I don't want to go no further. We cannot or having problems with the counsel of the ungodly. Yeah, the ungodly counsel may be our family, may be our friends, or the places that we used to go. But God is calling us to draw near, draw nigh, come close, and to surrender. Because we're cold. And when you look at the world, you look at even everybody begin to talk about the recession. The recession came because we spoke the recession. If you really want to know about it, even in when the weatherman, the only man that keeps his job and he lies, he begins to look at the forecast or look at radars and sonars and begin to tell us, and they show us the news at 2, 5, and 7, and it goes all over the world, and then we agree
Because the Bible says, we shall have whatsoever we say.
That's right.
And so we are in agreement and not even knowing who we are. If one man had a relationship with God and him getting at his enemy, and he asked the Lord not for the sun not to go down, one man in a relationship with God, one man said it wouldn't rain for 3 years. We're talking about the word of God. We're talking about the relationship. And all these other people were still in the earth. We got to look at how cold we are, how warm we are, or how hot do we really need to be. We talk about signs and wonders. We talk about the Beatitudes. But how cold or warm or hot are we pertaining to the word of God, to where we get results when we touch and agree with the saints, when we pray, when they bring the sick to the elders. He said that they will recover when we lay hands, when we cast out devils. Do we believe the word or don't we? Or are we just Sunday Christians? Not even vowing to keep the order of discipleship. Not even vowing to be in constant covenant with God, in covenant relationship with the word of God. They are closing libraries, and it's a setup. And I'm not mad at the internet, the iPods, the iPhones, but the word of God. So even Hollywood got a revelation when they put out the Book of Eli. Got a revelation. Whoever directed that movie got a revelation to know what was coming. And evil was looking for this one book. We're looking for one word, a word from God. Because when folks listen and they gather, and he can control them. And it was a man by the, oh, Lord, Eli. Holy Spirit told him which way to go and to carry this word. He read it day and night. And the funny thing about it is, when you look at the book of Eli, he was blind. The book was in Braille. So he truly walked by faith and not by sight. And you look at all of what this evil man did just to try to get this word. Because he knew. See, that's the thing about our enemy. Our enemy knows the word of God. Our enemy knows that God is real. The enemy knows that God has already told him his days are numbered and that he's going to be cast into hell and hell into the lake of fire. He already knows his end and his demise because he understands the word of God. He understands who God is. Even in God having the meeting pertaining to Job, the sons of God, he end up coming. He still got to come subject. The word of God is true. And we need to begin to hide the word in our heart. We need to look at the baptism of fire that we need to stay hot, not warm, not lukewarm, not straddling the fence. This is not the time nor the hour, body of Christ. This is not the time. Signs, wonders, and miracles by way of the word, by way of the Holy Spirit. Amen? By way of the word, by way of the Holy Spirit. Let's get the word in us. Let's speak the word. Let's live the word. Let's practice the word of God.
That's powerful stuff there. And you really got to put yourself in a mindset to receive some different things. Even when the man of God was, you know, he's staying right there in that first verse. And even when I was reading it out of the Amplified, it said, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, meaning following their advice, their plans, and their purposes, nor stands, which is submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. And that's what we do unconsciously, self-consciously. That's what we do without thinking, without applying
the principle of what we have and who we are, we put ourselves in a circumstance and situation to where we are being led. But men and women of God, remember, we are to be the leaders. Recall, if you recall the definition of leadership or how we can use leadership, we're allowing others to lead us, lead God and direct us, living in our minds rent-free, lead God and directing us, as he spoke of the weatherman. You know, it's just like turning on the light. We get up in the morning, we turn, I tell my wife, baby, turn to the news because I want to see what the weather going to be. And we don't even recognize how programmed we are. We used to, in the country, go to the door and open the door and breathe in the air. Look out and see. Hear the birds. If you don't hear no birds chirping, something going on outside. The animal kingdom knows a lot more about life than we do. You want to know when it's going to rain? Go outside your house and look at the ants. The ants are going to be going up. They're going to be coming out of the ground. They're going to be going up the side of your house because they instinctively know and go by the signs that God has placed in their being. We're the only ones, humans, men and women, that don't use and exercise all of the senses that God has given us to operate while we're here down in the earth. Psalms 82, which I know we're going to talk about, says, how long are you going to let the unrighteous judges judge? How long are you going to let the folks that's not supposed to be in charge be in charge? Let me give you that definition of leadership again, or at least the way I learned it some 50, almost 40 years ago, 42 years ago, by way of an Army ROTC Field Manual 22-5, which is so great that in all walks of life, this definition and this concept works. For it says, leadership is the art of influencing and directing men, women, boys, or girls in such a way as to obtain their willing obedience, confidence, respect, and loyal cooperation in order to accomplish the mission. What is the mission? In the scriptures, the mission of us as the body of Christ is to heal the sick, cast out devils, and God will give us the ability to take care of the widows and the orphans. God is the champion of the fatherless. We talked about that a few weeks ago. He's not going to allow those that don't know their father to go without what the father has to offer. God is the father of fathers, and he has passed on to the father, which is us, mankind, dominion and power, authority, anointing, to handle everything that he's a father, the great father, has passed down. And we, sadly, fallen astray and have allowed unjust judges to teach in our synagogues, to dunk us underneath the water, to hold us hostage. And it's so easy to take it back because he said, in my name, in the name of Jesus. He sent us out two by twos before he even gave us anointing. First, he just gave us some authority. He did it with the disciples. We ought to be disciples. And those of you that think that you are a bench member, you might as well don't be in the body of Christ. If you ain't going to do nothing, stay cold. God said, I would have that you would be hot or cold. He even, you know, he said, hey, you know, I can understand. You all right with me even if you cold. But if you lukewarm, you straddling in the fifth, guess what? That is so upsetting to me that I spew you out of my mouth. I vomit you out. And I don't know whether, you know, some people, you know, they say, well, you're not supposed to be all so graphic. But, you know, the real deal is when you're vomiting, your lungs, your esophagus, your heart, your entire body is used. Every muscle pretty much in your body has to be in unison to force the contents of what's in your stomach, out of the stomach, up through all of these things, to spew it out, open up the airway so that you don't choke. Yeah, think about it. When you would go through the physical act of vomiting, it's a traumatic experience. Your eyes water. You get lightheaded. You want to get close to the ground. I don't know what it is about being low. See, you got to get low. You feel like you're going to die. You can't breathe. Your breath, that's the one time that your breath is involuntarily, you can stop your breath. Any other time, you can't make yourself stop breathing, even if you wanted to. You could hold your breath, and your body would make you stop breathing. But when you have to vomit, it takes all of these things in your body working in conjunction with one another. And that's really the way the body of Christ is supposed to be. We're supposed to be working in conjunction with one another. We ought to be having teams. We got a simultaneous revival that's coming up here in the City of Glory in a few more days. And I just challenge anyone to, we need some deliverance. Some folks need to be delivered. Revival is about being delivered from some things that you've been allowing to be pets in your house. So the word of God is going to go forth in a mighty way all over this city. So I declare and decree even right now that these men and women of God that's going to be here in this City of Glory, that even they don't understand, but they're going to have a power and authority and anointing that they don't even know that's on the inside of them, that's going to be stirred up in their belly. They're going to be talking with new tongues. They're going to be overcome by the Spirit of God, and they're going to understand and see some kingdom-mindedness happen through them, and they're going to have to come and ask somebody what happened. Where did that come from? And how can I keep it? Now, I'm not saying that everybody around here don't know what they're doing, but I'm saying it's time for all of us to get together and be on the same page. It's time for everybody to come and say, I'm tired and I'm sick of the same old, same old. I'm tired of people that don't know what they're doing leading me. And I'm talking about the news media. I'm talking about even our public officials that we don't hold accountable. I'm talking about our parents. I'm talking about those that we've been following but haven't been holding to the word of God. It tells us for us not to be in the council of ungodly. But guess what? Just because a person has a title don't mean that they're godly. God has given us the ability to discern things that are not of him. And he tells us to come out from among them. I heard about a man of God that's beginning to stray, and the people are beginning to see that he's not the same as he used to be. So I say, pray for that man of God and hold the man of God accountable, because the enemy is the one that wants the man of God to not do what thus said the Lord. The only way the men and women of God are not doing what God said is that they have given their authority up. All of this is in Psalms 1. Plans and purposes. Don't follow their advice. Don't be submissive and inactive. What happens is we sit on the front pew all the way to the back pew, and we say nothing. We say nothing by our not studying. We say nothing by our not reading the word of God. We don't pray. If we pray, we pray in 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening, and we think we the best thing since sliced toast. Kids running rampant, bills all over the place. It's because we're not praying. We're not doing godly things to keep ourselves in the way of God, in the way of truth, in the path of righteousness. But it's not that hard to get back on track. See, God is love. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. And that's the key. Quit taking and start giving. See, when I say give, people go, oh, there you go, talking about some money. Guess what? Scripture said money does what? It answereth all things. So if it answereth all things, why aren't you striving to get some in a godly way? We talked about the lottery. There's some things going on right now. We got this $500 million lottery. Going to be coming up on Friday. And I know it's going to be a whole lot of us that's in the body of Christ that's going to have us a ticket or two. Ain't going to be praying to God that the numbers hit. Now, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to let you talk to God about what you think his plan is for that. Because, see, there's times when you got to stand up and make your own choice, regardless of what anybody else says. I can't think for you, and you can't think for me. All I can do is plant a seed and then water it. God is the one that's going to bring the increase. Yes, the money of the wicked or the riches of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And there's so many different ways to get it. There's apostles in the marketplace, evangelists, teachers, pastors that have a marketplace anointing. And they're able to show us some prosperous things about how to draw on what God has said in the scriptures. Everything that's in this book, basic instruction before leaving Earth, the Bible tells us the who, what, when, the where, and the how. This is the warfare hour. All we're doing is giving you some nuggets, some little pebbles, for you to do a deeper, further investigation, a deeper study, a deeper prayer, a deeper fasting relationship, a different building of your relationship with God, and then give us some feedback on whether what we said was a help to you or a hindrance to you. And we do want to know. We want to know that we've been a blessing to you. Because it says blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable. Enviable means that people will envy you. And you won't envy them. I saw a man's house today was absolutely spectacular. A guy that I work for, we happened to go by his house, and God has blessed him with a mansion on the earth. And I said, ooh, wait, because it's beautiful. Lots of land. Got a little pond out in the back. But you know what? If you don't know what to do when you get the riches, you're going to be a fool. And you're not going to be a help to anyone. That's why many of us get money and we burn through it so quickly. And we're not a help to anyone. We are a hindrance. Yes, I've been one of those. Went through thousands of dollars. Thousands and thousands of dollars. Had to learn the hard way. And had I used a little bit of integrity, a little bit of thought process, a little bit of godliness, I would still have some of those thousands that I wasted. But guess what? See, they say that practice makes perfect, and you got to go through some stuff. No tests, no testimony.
Amen. I'm looking at Proverbs 7, beginning to talk about the mouth even still. Proverbs 7, it says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And my laws as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tables of thine heart. And the Bible says, it says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. I was just talking about the words. The Lord expects us to keep his word. Like when we began to talk about a couple of weeks ago about relationship. We have 66 love letters. And in these love letters, there are things that are to be kept in our hearts, in our minds, and in our spirits. These commands, these decrees that would keep us and live. Somebody loves you enough to write you love letters that would allow you to live, not just live, but to keep you. Wouldn't you want to read those love letters?
Wee!
Yes, indeed. Even going to Proverbs 8. In those love letters in chapter 7, it talks about the crafty harlot because of you hearing the words, of your Father, and you laying those commandments up and keeping them as the apple of your eye, and you binding them up about your fingers and writing them on the tables of your heart and saying to wisdom and understanding, it keeps you from the crafty harlot. And it talks about that woman, about her being loud and her words, her flattering words. And her being at the window of her house, her being loud. It was by words. I don't want to get into that part, but of course, the Bible says that she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. So she's using words. Mm-hmm. She's using words. We even look at the enemy. The enemy is loud and stubborn, trying to use words that are ungodly. And I guess a lot of folks think the louder that you say a word or whatever, you know, folks are supposed to be scared of you. And, you know, he getting real loud, you know, like he gonna hurt somebody or he gonna move something around, like he mean what he say. You know, And he done took a stand and took an attitude about himself because of his words. But the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. And grievous words stir up anger. And so if the enemy is loud and stubborn, you might look for those grievous words that would try to stir up anger and remove you from that place of not just being angry, but moving you to a place of singing, all by way of words. Let's look at our relationships. Let's look at our marriages. Let's look at the communication at work, our phone communication, and even the lyrics or the spirits that we are listening to. Words are spirit. The Bible says it. They are spirit and they are life. Words. He wouldn't say life and death is in the power of the tongue if it weren't for how God built this earth. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those that love the fruit of it shall eat thereof. They say you are what you eat? No. You are having and living what you have spoken. And you will continue to live in such a way until you renew your mind, until you speak a better thing, until you yield your will, until you learn, take his yoke upon you, and you learn of him. For his yoke is easy, and his burdens are light. Learn of him, that he may give you the words of life, the words of wisdom, the words of counsel, the words of might, a word of passion, a word of zeal, a word of knowledge, a word of restoration, a word of life.
The Bible says to be slow to speak and quick to listen. It's in the book of James. For a man's tongue is like the rudder of a boat. It's a small thing, but it turns this big boat, and it has power to keep it on course or to go off track, to cause an accident and to sink, to go down. The presence of God will allow us, will afford us the opportunity to speak light, to speak light in darkness, to speak life where death is, where decay is, where the muck and the mire is. The word of life The word of life, the words of life. I'm from the Father of life. And see, the thing that I understand about my Father is while we were yet sinners, he died in death. He still spoke life, still spoke forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His heart, his mind, mind renewed, heart still filled with love, even in a dying hour, the crucifixion. The passion of the sacrifice, of him understanding his mandate, him understanding the sacrifice, him giving up the glory to his Father and him being glorified. Him not being able to do any miracles or miraculous things until the Holy Ghost was upon him. And before any and every miracle that you read about, he took his disciples to pray, to have words with the Father, to have spirit time with the Father. Can you not watch with me 1 hour? Can you not pray, watch unto prayer with me? Can you not pray the word? Can you not pray in the spirit? The connection of God the Father with his Son that he begot by one Son by way of the Word of God. This is him returning for a church without spot or wrinkle. When we look at the things that have to be done before his return, it deals mightily with us being in the Word, us being sold out believers, not lukewarm, not cold, but hot, on fire. This is where the greater works will come and come from. The fire from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God, from the illumination of the Spirit of God, from the coals off the altar. One of the men of God apologizing to God, knowing that he was a man of unclean lips, asked that God would give him coals off the altar to purify his lips, his words. In Proverbs 8, at verse 5, it says, O ye simple, understand wisdom.
And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. We got to have the truth, y'all. The truth. That's why we need the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the wisdom of God. It says, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. The forwardness and the perverseness, we need cleansing. We need to fight it. We need the coals off the altar to purify our words, our lips. Say, they are all plain to him that understand it, and write to them that find knowledge. Receive my instructions and not silver. Oh, Lord. Receive my instructions and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. We're talking about wisdom. We're talking about the word. And what are we supposed to receive? That goes back to Matthew 6:33. If we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things should be added unto him. In his righteousness, there is wisdom. And in the wisdom, when we read in Proverbs 7, it talked about the law, the love of his law that kept us, that preserved us, that showed us the way out. It says, for wisdom, notice the word wisdom is wise and dumb. the word of God. The Lord can make the wise dumb and the dumb wise. It's God who confounds the wise with the things that they were coming to trying to know, and the dark wisdom, the dark counsel of the ungodly. But the word of God, the wisdom of God, is better than rubies and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to. It says, for I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Lord Jesus. You want to be rich?
Amen.
Do you want to be rich?
Yeah.
Do you want to have witty inventions? Do you want to have knowledge? Pray for wisdom. Pray the word of God. Get to know your Father. Follow the instructions. He said in the 10th verse of the 8th chapter, receive my instructions. You can go back to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and read about the blessings of the Lord. We're talking about something that's going to bring you. It's better than the silver. It's better than the choice gold. It's better than the rubies. And these are the things, you know, bling, bling. I don't need to be known by my bling. But the wisdom of God that can build my city. The word of God that will illuminate men that have been drug dealers, murderers, thugs, pimps, womenizers, whoremongers, backslidden preachers, deacons, prophets, lying apostles, psychic prophets, the word of God, the wisdom of God, the fire of God, the baptism of the fire, and me being hot, not cold or lukewarm, that will allow the breath of God to breathe on me. Being in the presence of God, because of the word of God, because of the relationship of the love letters, the word of life. To talk to our daughters, our sisters, our mothers, our grandmothers, our aunties,
bananas. The word of God that would save a sin-sick world. The fire and the passion. When we talk about revival, when I think about revival, the only thing that comes to my mind is resuscitation. Somebody has lost the air. Somebody has lost the wind, the ruach. Somebody has lost the anointing, the Holy Spirit. Somebody has lost something. And this is the only thing that comes to my mind that is in my spirit. Mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
That's good stuff.
And when the word of God says, seek my face, if you look at the translation, it says, seek my mouth. Because when you seek his mouth, you get his word.
Yes.
And when you get his word, and you got his words, you got who he is.
The blood.
You got what he stands for. He said that he's not a man that he should lie, Lord Jesus. He says that before one of his words fall to the ground, if they're alive, that he would undo this whole thing, his word. Lord Jesus, Lord, give us a revelation of your word, the wisdom of warning your word, the passion of your word, O God. That those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, which are the commands and the decrees, the law, shall be filled. Filled with what? The Holy Spirit, the keeper, the leader and guider, to all ways of truth. That brings us into connection with God. And when you begin to get the word of God. Get into the prayer language, the prayer call, the servantship, the stewardship of how we ought to act, the how we ought to live, the beatitudes, and being able to serve one another, and how we should live sensibly in the Holy Spirit and with one another. Leads us to pray for our enemy, leads us to continue to show up at a job when folks are taking advantage of us and misusing us and lying on us falsely. The Bible tells us to rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you. Somebody has died before us, labored. Hebrew boys thrown in a fiery furnace. Look at our trials. Look at our tests. And you look at the word of God in us and us being privy to so many tapes and so many CDs and so many conferences and so many things. But truly, this is one plate that you will have to eat off for yourself. The word is me. And those that of us that are babes, we are on the milk, but desire the sincere milk of the word. The meat eater desire the mature meat of the word. That we might go on to be that which he has called us to be. That we would understand the hope of our calling in the word of God. That we would know that our election is sure. The word of God fortifies us as baptized believers, as sons and daughters of the Most High God. It is our title deed to the promise of God. And every promise that he gave us is yea and amen. But we need to know what they are so we can live a life of overcomers. Let the word tonight
be that which you need. Pray for the fire. Pour for the fire. Be repentant in your heart and in your mind. If you're not esteeming the word of God above the TV, the remote control, the stories, Facebook, we need to repent and ask God to forgive us for not esteeming the word of God as high as it needs to be in our life. The word of God is alive. And it will live inside of you. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. We're coming to find out that all flesh don't want his spirit. Even those that are saved, draw your minds back in. Come on back. We're praying for the backslider tonight. Those that used to be word men and women of God that have left for the antics and the theatrical. No, the word of God, the word of God, the will of God, the law of God tonight be revived, be renewed in us, in our mouths and in our minds and in our hearts, the word of God, afresh in our mouth and in our spirit, the word of God, in our eye gates, in our ear gates, and in our hearts, in our mouths, the word of God. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of the peace, the word of God that makes the sword of the spirit, the word of God that makes the breastplate of righteousness, the word of God that gives us the helmet of salvation, the word of God that gives us the belt of truth, the girding up our loins, the word of God, which gives us the shield of faith. This is a warfare hour, the word of God. The word of God. To be that righteous man of God, to be that husband, to be that son, in obedience. Not a bastard, a son and not a bastard, a daughter and not a harlot, the word of God, a preacher and not a pimp, the word of God, the word of God, the adulterated word of God and the spirit of God, the living word brings us to a living way. And the living way brings us to a life that we can live more abundantly.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to your wonderful and magnificent name. Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, we love you. We adore you. Big brother, father, Abba, y'all ought to be on fire. Somebody ought to be on fire. Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. The word of God went forth in a mighty way. And not because it was us, but because the vessels yielded to the master, the true master, the true vine. Did a little clipping here and there, the way he wanted it to be. If you're out there today and you don't know God and the pardon of your sins, you liked a little bit about what you heard, you curious about how can I get some of that? How can I have that? We need you to, if that's what you want Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, because that's what we're talking about, getting some power from the person who is the power giver, the one that was in the beginning, the one that prayed for us and asked the Father, say, I've taught them everything, and now you give them what you've given me, oh God. If you want some of this, Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are the Son of the one and only true God. I believe that you left your Holy Spirit here with me to give me power. I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for my sins, and I'm ready to give myself and surrender my will to Jesus. I love you, and I'm learning to love. I want to have the anointing and the purpose that you have for me, and I want to get it from you and from no one else. Now, if you're able to say that, and you mean that in your heart, then hallelujah! Glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome into the kingdom of our Lord. Welcome into the body of the bride. The groom is Jesus and waiting for us, and for us to be adorned without spot or wrinkle. And we praise God for you, man of God. We praise God for you, woman of God. For you have taken that ultimate step for forever and for eternity. The kingdom daughters and the kingdom builders want to make sure that you didn't just say some words today and then you're going to be left out there by yourself. We want you to call in using the number that you used tonight or the internet blog that you have tapped into. Contact the Kingdom Daughters. First thing we want to do is we're going to get a Bible in your hand if you don't have a Bible. You want to get a Bible in your hand. And we got friends, brothers and sisters all over this United States and abroad. We want to make sure you get in a Bible teaching church. We want to make sure that you're going to be getting the word wherever you go. So we pray even right now that you will contact us and let us know what city you're in, what state you're in, what province you're in, so that we can get those feelers out there and get you in a Bible teaching environment where you can strengthen yourself and be just like those that you hear. We don't know if these lines are open today. If they are, go ahead and open them up. But if they aren't, then we understand and we thank you for being with us. We just wait for 15 seconds to see if there's an ability to open them up on tonight. We've been having difficulties, but we've still been able to bring the word to you. So for those of you that have been wanting to talk, we're going to iron these things out. The enemy is not going to win. We do pray that those of you that are writing, you know, it says that you can write us, you know, on the internet. Write us some comments on Facebook and let us know that, you know, some concerns and things that are going on with you. Your prayer request so that we can pray with you and for you. You can contact us at Warriors for Christ, House of Prayer Church International, 2225 Roosevelt Place here in the city of Gary. You can contact us on Facebook. You can contact us on Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Dollars. You can contact us at Living Way Christian Center, 235 West 40th Avenue in the city of Gary. And you can call any of these telephone numbers, and you can get on Facebook at Carlton Clark at Yahoo or
msmkbarnes@gmail.com, Matthew Barnes.
And there's just so many ways that we want to be in contact with you. We thank you for coming on the air and listening to us. Our telephone number, if you want to call us, is 219-200-7402 for Apostle Carlton Clark, Prophet Matthew Barnes, 219-201-5091. And we'd be glad to spend a few minutes with you just talking about what thus said the Lord. Now, we're serious about what we are talking about. We pray that you believe and hear and have heard those things that God is allowing to come through our fervency. We do ask that you would drop us a line, write us, let us know, but by all means, support the Kingdom Daughters. We're not asking you for anything for Warriors for Christ other than just to continue the house of prayer, just continue listening down and in. God is going to bless us, and you've been blessing us. But the Kingdom Daughters and the Kingdom Builders need your continued support, even your financial support. They can continue to get Bibles and send the Bibles out. And God has been good to us. We've been very grateful for all that we've got. And we just ask you to continue to support the Kingdom Daughters and the Kingdom Builders International. Hallelujah. We love you, we adore you, we magnify your name, O Lord Jesus. And we thank you for tuning in with us. God bless you and God keep you.